You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
Dragon.
King.
I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
Dragon.
King.
Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show here at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com. I am your host, Carl Stern. Thanks a lot for joining me. Hey, listen, I want to invite you over to WhenItWasCool.com, my website. I've made a lot of changes here lately, really freshened up things. We're concentrating primarily now on just our podcasting network, which is the biggest thing we do, the most successful thing we do. You'll still find the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone there. You'll still, in our archives, find all the articles we've ever done, the Southeastern Wrestling Research Project, all that's still there, but we're focusing now the whole everything we do, that front page is all geared toward our podcast. You're going to get a lot more information. You're going to see a lot more what's going on. Check us out. We've revamped our social media and everything. In fact, if you've ever followed us on Twitter, well, we've nuked that account. That account's gone. So we've got a new Twitter account. You'll need to go to whenitwascool.com, the front page, and hit that new Twitter account and follow it. Also, our Facebook page as well. Doing lots of new stuff, lots of great stuff there, and tons of retro wrestling stuff. In our rotation of wrestling shows here, we're back around now to the history of pro wrestling at Madison Square Garden. Okay, so we rotate our shows around. We do a different show every week, every Tuesday. And so to keep it from getting old and boring, we don't just do reviews, and we don't just do the long-form history of pro wrestling. Don't just do the GKT, Greatest Kayfabe Tournament. We rotate them around, and we're back around here to the early days of Madison Square Garden. And, hey, that last episode, I got a lot of great feedback on it. That was a wild episode about the history of wrestling at Madison Square Garden. I recently heard Ron Fuller say on his podcast, he's doing like a history of wrestling book or something, and he made the absolute... I mean, Ron Fuller's a promoter. Let's just understand that. And his family goes back a long way. Let's understand that, too. Not belittling Ron Fuller in any way. Ron Fuller was a great wrestler, and his family was certainly one of the most important in the business. But Ron, he sometimes speaks in promoter speaks and throws a little bit of ballyhoo in with what he's saying from time to time. He can speak in hyperbole a bit. He made the statement recently, back in the 1800s, everything was a shoot. It was real back then. As we've learned in this series and in the long-form history of wrestling, that ain't even remotely true. In fact, it's not even predominantly true, majority true. This sport, whatever you want to call it, was just as ludicrously worked back in the 1800s as it is today. There was probably a higher percentage of shoot matches for sure, especially at carnivals and stuff, and maybe even your higher levels. But the majority of it was prearranged, was a scam to fleece gamblers. That's what it was all about. And boy, that last episode, we saw people double-crossing each other right and left. They had a worked finish worked out, and one of the wrestlers figured out, hey, you know what? I can really beat this guy, so I'm going to hold him up, jack my price up. And he did that between falls, between basically every fall, ended up making about five times the money he had originally agreed to just because he could shoot on this guy and win, and the guy he was wrestling knew it. So go back and listen to that. That was a heck of an episode. So let's see what this episode brings us, and we're going to Scott Teal's great book, Wrestling in the Garden, Volume 1, 1875 to 1939. This book's kind of hard to find on Amazon. Like, it doesn't search up real good. So if you want to find it, if you'll go into the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone at whenitwascool.com, go to, like, 1880, the year here that we're going to be talking about. And you can find a link to it, and that helps us out too. So check it out. Scott does great work. I mean, he's a premier wrestling historian, and this is really good stuff here. He did all the heavy lifting for me, and we're going through his book looking at this. So we're going to start in 1880, and January 19th of 1880, to be specific. And again, remember, last episode, we're no longer Gilmore's Gardens. It is now officially the first Madison Square Garden. The name's what's changed, but we'll see. There'll be multiple buildings as we go on, and we'll talk about that much more. So January 19th, 1880, the attendance is 4,000. That's a pretty solid. I mean, that's a pretty great attendance for 1880. And the people that's going to be wrestling, both are well known in the newspapers. If you followed the newspapers really anywhere in the country, you followed the National Police Gazette, certainly in the New York papers, you in the sports scene there, you knew these two guys. We've talked at length about Professor Theobald Bauer. Okay, he was, you know, he was one of these guys working these matches, and we've talked a lot about William Muldoon as well, and especially if you go back to the Long Form History of Wrestling podcast, where you know we've talked a great deal about William Muldoon. He was one of the biggest star of that era. I mean, he was absolutely in the New York area and across the country, really. He was maybe the most famous name in pro wrestling. So here he is. He's going to be at Madison Square Garden. We've already seen a crazy scene we talked about last episode. He was a police officer in New York. He was part of the Policeman Athletic Club, which kind of kicked off some of these matches that were being held at various places. He literally got into what appears to be some sort of worked shoot altercation out in the streets. He gets beamed with a billy club upside the head. Maybe he blades. It's unclear. You can read into it whatever you want to, but it's a crazy scene. But here he's going to wrestle Theobald Bauer for the World Greco-Roman Heavyweight Championship. Now, it's still going to be about, you know, a little less than 20 years before we have an official World Heavyweight Wrestling Championship. George Hackenschmidt's going to win or be promoted in a bunch of tournaments. He's going to rack up a bunch of championships. He was a very famous strong man, and we'll talk more about George Hackenschmidt as we go further. And he ends up beating the champion of America, who was Tom Jenkins, and ultimately, of course, we know Frank Gotch as well, or loses to Frank Gotch, rather. And that's the world championship. That's the first. That's one the NWA and everybody tries their best, although that's not true, to tie their belt back to that. But preceding that, you had these different styles. You had Greco-Roman, you had catch-as-catch-can, you had collar and elbow, you had all these various different styles of wrestling. And a lot of times these wrestlers would mix their styles up. They would have what was called mixed matches or handicap matches, where they would have a certain number of falls in one style and a certain number in another. But this is for the World Greco-Roman Championship. And again, a lot of these titles are just, you know, they're made up. there's no real, you know, true shoot tournament or anything behind these. But let's see what happens. The match was billed for being for the, quote, trophy valued at $200 and the championship of the world in Greco-Roman style. Edward Bibby, the English middleweight champion, was the umpire for the Muldoon, and Captain Palmer was there for Theobald Bauer. William Muldoon weighed 240 pounds. Yeah, he was a big fellow. And Theobald Bauer weighed 180. So, you know, there's a huge weight differential here. Muldoon won the first fall in 43 minutes. Bauer the second fall in 20 minutes. And then William Muldoon took the deciding fall in 3 minutes. The referee for the match was Harry Hill. We go forward a few months, 3 months, actually, to March 23rd, 1880. We have an attendance of 3,000, so that's 1,000 people less, but that's still pretty doggone good. The World Greco-Roman Heavyweight title is on the line again, and this time William Muldoon goes to a draw with William Miller. And listen to the time on this match. This is, again, reported in the newspapers. So you hear about lengthy matches. How about 7 hours? Yes, 7-hour match. William Mulder at Madison Square Garden, no less. 3,000 people. Man, and I've been complaining on some of my other podcasts over When It Was Cool recently. I do a podcast called the Heel Mustache Podcast, where I keep a list every week and complain about all the stuff that makes me mad during the week. Well, I've been complaining about 3-hour movies here recently, but obviously 3-hour pro wrestling shows also qualify. But could you imagine one single match lasting 7 hours? William Miller and William Muldoon struggling for the championships is the headline. Miller and Muldoon, the wrestlers, began a Greco-Roman match in Madison Square Garden last evening for the championship of the world in the presence of about 3,000 victims. The newspapers used to even back then, just used to tear these wrestling matches up. The wrestling began with great vigor. Miller at first doing most of the work and Muldoon standing on the defensive. Miller had a happy way of seizing Muldoon's head and twisting it sideways and forward till the spectators had some hopes that his neck would be broken. They were disappointed in this, but Muldoon's head was frequently pressed forward till his nose scraped his breast. Wow, sounds painful. Muldoon showed himself to be the much quicker of the two, but Miller's superior weight did him good service. So I guess Miller's, north of 240 pounds. So these two big boys wrestling for a long time here. After the match had continued for 4 hours without a fall for either side, the two men succeeded in rolling themselves off the platform and striking heavily on the floor. This created fresh hopes that an ambulance would be needed. This is 1880, so it would be a horse-drawn ambulance. But the spectators were again disappointed by seeing the men spring to their feet, ready to renew the terrific combat. At 1:30 this morning, the men were still, and you wonder why New York put in curfews. At 1:30 this morning, the men were still at it. And the few spectators who remained were unanimous in their opinion that $10 or 10 days would be a very light sentence. The manager said the match would be continued till daylight, unless decided sooner. And that was in the New York Times, Wednesday, March 24th, 1880. Notes here for this be from Scott. He says, the bout lasted until nearly 4 a.m. with neither man able to gain a fall. Numbered or reserved seats sold for $1. That was general admission was 50 cents. Now then, this is a very interesting story. This is a major news story here. What happens next? And this is not a wrestling match, but a tragedy that struck. Killed by falling walls. Collapse of the front of Madison Square Garden. Yes, Madison Square Garden once collapsed and killed people in New York City. A shameful and terrible accident occurred last night at 9:15 o'clock at the Madison Square Garden, where the Heinemann Hospital Fair was in progress. 100 feet of the second story fronting on Madison Avenue and including the tower at the northwestern corner fell into the street, carrying away the art gallery, the dancing room, and part of the restaurant. The masonry fell on about 20 persons who were escaping from the dancing room and killed 3 people, one of whom was hurled into the street. 10 or 12 persons were more or less severely injured. Among those mortally wounded was Mr. William M. Tilson, so badly injured that his recovery is not hoped for. He was found near Madison Avenue end of the dancing hall. Both his legs and an arm were broken. He was sent to the hospital in dying condition. This again, New York Times, Thursday, April 22nd, 1880. The Madison Square Garden disaster, William M. Tilson, who had one arm and both his legs broken at Madison Square Garden last night, died at 4 o'clock this morning at Bellevue Hospital. Mr. Tilson was the kennel editor of the Forest and Stream. He was a prominent member of the Westminster Kennel Club. That's from the Philadelphia Times, Thursday, April 22nd, 1880. Now, Scott says the results of the coroner's inquest were released May 7, 1880, and the deaths of four people, three women and Tilson, were laid to faulty construction. The Kennel Club Bench Show is still carried that name in 1880, was postponed for a few weeks in the wake of the wall collapse. When it did take place in mid-May, Tilson's kennel of six dogs was raffled off. Though dead, Tilson nevertheless was elected in the Third Ward as delegate to the County Democratic Party Convention. What about that? May 11, 1880. August 7th, 1882. Attendance only 300 for this match, and good Lord, after sitting through a seven-hour slug previously, who can fathom that anybody would want to see wrestling ever again at Madison Square Garden, especially as the building collapses and kills people? Talk about your setbacks. Boy, that's something else for sure. But August the 7th here in 1882, so it's a full couple of years now before we have wrestling back at Madison Square Garden, and one would suspect that was due to a reconstruction of the severely damaged building, and also to recover from a seven-hour match with William Muldoon and William Miller. So 300 show up to see the World Catch-as-Catch-Can heavyweight title match between Mighty Joe Acton and Edwin Bibby. And this match only goes 38 minutes. Joe Acton beat Edwin Bibby, and both of these folks, again, are well-known wrestlers for the era. Going into the match, Bibby was recognized as the American champion, while Acton was the champion of England. There was a $500 side bet. Acton was cheered when he won the match. Bibby reportedly suffered an injury during the first fall. None of the would-be champion wrestlers has covered Joe Acton's money. Edwin Bibby and Hoffler, the wrestlers, have joined the Sullivan combination. John McMahon, again, a very well-known wrestler back then, but no relation to Vince McMahon, even though Vince's grandfather is going to come around and be promoting in this building in the, you know, in a couple decades down the road from here. But John McMahon is eager to wrestle H.M. Duffer for $500 side, collar, and elbow. Joe Acton, the champion Catch-as-Catch-Can wrestler, who has $100 lying at this office with a standing challenge to wrestle Muldoon, Whistler, and that's going to be Clarence Whistler, who is the primary rival of William Muldoon. Clarence, the Kansas Demon Whistler, was quite the character as well. I've done some shows about him in the past. And, oh my gosh, what a card he was. Or, in fact, he would wrestle any man in the world at either Catch-as-Catch-Can or Greco-Roman, is now one of the proprietors of Pastime Park, Bellevue, Pennsylvania. And this was from the National Police Gazette magazine, New York, Saturday, September 9th, 1882. The proposed wrestling match for $2,000 in the Catch-as-Catch-Can Championship of America between the famous Joe Acton and the English champion and Clarence Whistler of Kansas has not yet been arranged. Whistler agreed to give $100 to Acton to wrestle in New York 8 weeks from October 21st, but Arthur Chambers, Acton's backer, does not appear to like the proposition. Whistler, Pilkington, and Cannon called at the Police Gazette office October 25th and authorized us to state that Clarence Whistler will take $100 in expenses and wrestle Joe Acton in Philadelphia in any suitable hall, according to Acton's articles. In 8 weeks from Saturday, October 21st, the $100 to be made good at the time of the final deposit. Mr. Whistler solicits an early reply to this very accommodating proposition, and that again was published in the National Police Gazette, New York, Saturday, November 11th, 1882. We got one more entry for 1882. It's going to be December 18th, 1882. Attendance is 3,500, so we're back up where we were before the William Muldoon, William Miller seven-hour match, and then the second story of Madison Square Garden falling off in the street and killing people. We're back up to 3,500. World Catch-as-Catch-Can heavyweight title match. Clarence Whistler, yes, the Kansas Demon, goes to a draw with Joe Acton, and this time it took them 90 minutes to do it. Clarence Whistler has not yet given up the idea that he can throw Joe Acton. On December 20th, James Pilkington, Whistler's staunch backer, called the Police Gazette office, deposited $100 with Richard K. Fox. Richard K. Fox owned and edited the National Police Gazette, and he left the following challenge for his champion. New York City, December 20th, 1882, to the sporting editor of the Police Gazette. Sir, I am not satisfied with the ending of my recent wrestling match with Joe Acton for $1,000, a unsigned at Madison Square Garden on December 18th. I was overtrained, and that is the reason I failed to win a fall. Now I challenge Acton to wrestle me again. Catch as catch can for $1,000 aside and the Championship of America. I will allow him $250 for expenses to wrestle in Kansas City 4 weeks from signing articles. Richard K. Fox of the Police Gazette to be the final stakeholder. Now, I allowed Acton $100 to wrestle in New York, and if he is the champion, as the press claims, he should at once agree to arrange a match. To prove I mean business, my backer, James Pilkington, has posted $100 forfeit with the Police Gazette, and I shall be ready to meet Joe Acton or his backer at the above office any day he shall name to post $150 more and sign the articles to wrestle for $1,000 aside. That was published in the National Police Gazette, New York, Saturday, January 6th, 1883, which, of course, brings us up to 1883. And boy, the National Police Gazette was something else. I need to do a whole show on the National Police Gazette sometime because, wow, what a carny publication that was.
Excuse me, please. Let's don't talk negatively. Speaking of winners, surprise, surprise, whenitwascool.com is your home for retro pop culture articles and podcasts. To all our patron supporters, this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold just like you and me. Family friendly and fun, whenitwascool.com.
So we go now to 1883. We're in February 7th, 1883. And we have a wrestling card that's canceled at Madison Square Garden. It was supposed to be Duncan C. Ross versus John McMahon. Again, both these well-known wrestlers. We've talked already about John McMahon. But Duncan C. Ross was as well. He's one of the top wrestlers of the day. New York City, the proposed wrestling match between Duncan C. Ross and John McMahon was postponed tonight because William K. Vanderbilt's license for Madison Square Garden as a place of amusement has expired and not been renewed. Yes, we've heard many bizarre business failings in our time, but once upon a time, yes, the promoter of Madison Square Garden forgot to renew his business license for a major card, and it got canceled. About 24 people were gathered outside the entrance to Madison Square Garden Hall at 8 o'clock last evening, their object being to witness the announced wrestling match between McMahon and Ross. Inside, all was darkness, and it was evident no preparations were being made for the match. A rumor was shortly circulated that the license had not yet been secured for the garden by Mr. Vanderbilt, and no entertainment could, therefore, be given in the building. The little throng gradually disappeared, and a quarter of an hour later, only a stray straggler would drop around the corner to inquire where the wrestling match was going on. This is the New York Herald, Wednesday, February 7th, 1883. Well, we're going to get wrestling in February 8th, and so the next day we're going to have a wrestling show there with 4,000 people there, estimated crowd of 4,000, so that's pretty impressive. A Greco-Roman match, where we see Edwin Bibby go to a draw with Harry N. Herbert. The Bibby-Herbert go was the sole wrestling match on what was a boxing sparring show headlined by Jim Mace and Herbert A. Slade. The uncovered floor of the platform was too hard for them, and they gave up. It was just part of a multi-sport show, which, as we've seen at Madison Square Garden, was common. It was very common anywhere back in these days, we had multiple sports going on. This was the same thing that happened with strongman shows and vaudeville. You would have these multi-entertainment shows, these multi-sport shows. But I think it's the first time that I've ever heard of two wrestlers saying the ring was too hard or the stage was too hard, so they just gave up, just quit, just lay down and give it up. February the 17th, 1883, collar and elbow match. I don't have a attendance for this. One has to wonder, given everything that's happened. We have a collar and elbow match. Black Sam beat Joe Ryan, two falls to one. And this Black Sam was a very famous African-American wrestler, former slave. He was also a boxer and well-known, very well-known athlete back in this time period. Greco-Roman match, we had Young Bibby went to a draw with Harry N. Herbert, one fall each. This was the last formal wrestling card in the original Madison Square Garden. Its open-air roof was a problem during bad weather, so it was replaced by the Stanford White design Madison Square Garden, the second garden, in 1890. And then we get this between now and then. So this is our last first garden. We're going to go to the second garden now. William Muldoon will, the notes, we're going to wrap up here with any notes left from the first garden, I should say. William Muldoon will be present to wrestle Greco-Roman with anyone that will offer, said the New York Herald, for Wednesday, February 28, 1883. On March 1st, 1883, an event billed as a colossal athletic and military tournament was held to aid of the New York Herald Fund for the benefit of sufferers by the Ohio Valley floods. Among those announced to appear included Gilmore's entire 22nd Regiment Band, the Veteran Corps, boxing great John L. Sullivan, several other boxers, the McShane brothers, who were little people, Greco-Roman wrestlers, Harry Herbert and Young Bibby, plus a collar and elbow match between Black Sam and Gus Lambert. I did a lot of research on Gus Lambert back in this time period. So if you go on the go over to whenitwascool.com, go to the Ultimate History Pro Wrestling Zone, and go into this like 1880 to 1890 period, and I've come up with quite a bit of stuff on Gus Lambert. So a guy you don't hear a lot about, but I put in quite a bit. Went and dug up several old books and stuff and got some information on Lambert, who was a pretty well-known wrestler both in the U.S. and Canada. Admission to this was 50 cents with reserved seats, 50 cents extra, and private boxes were available for $10. At least 3,000 people were at Madison Square Garden last night when the New York Herald's Boxing and Wrestling Entertainment for the Relief of People flooded out in Cincinnati took place. The audience was far superior to that usually seen at entertainments of this description. Newspaper taking a dig at wrestling again. Bankers, brokers, and millionaires hobnobbed with each other during the evening. Pop Whitaker read a communication from Richard K. Fox stating that the Police-Gazette combination featuring Herbert Slade and Jim Mace could not get to the entertainment owing to previous engagements. This was published in the New York Truth Friday, March 2nd, 1883. William Muldoon and Professor Austin followed the younger fellows, and they amused the crowd with their offensive and defensive tactics, Muldoon forcing matters and keeping the professor on alert to take care of himself. This was published in the New York Herald Friday, March 2nd, 1883. And so that wraps up Gilmore's Gardens and the Madison Square Garden, the first. So, boy, what have we learned there? Well, there was, in our previous show, there was double cross upon double cross upon double cross at the first garden. Then William Muldoon and William Miller had a 7-hour match that was such a slog that the building freaking gave up, just died and collapsed, killed people along with it. What the heck? I mean, how crazy is that? So when we come back, when we get back around to this show again, we'll pick up at Madison Square Garden the second. And besides wrestling, I mean, they're going to have some huge boxing matches. In fact, one in 1892 that has like 15,000 people there. So this is a pretty major deal. So today we've covered from, what was it, 1880 to 1883. I believe that's right. Let me backtrack my book here. Yeah, 1880 through 1883. So I will get this up and be available here, of course, at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, and again, I invite you to WhenItWasCool.com. We have so much wrestling history, so much pop culture history. We not only do pro wrestling, we do retro pop culture as well. Last week, meanwhile, over at WhenItWasCool.com, if you've been there last week, you could have got on Sunday, Dragon King Dark, where we talked about the scum bucket that is Harvey Weinstein as part of our 100 Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History series. And boy, that's a, what a piece of work that dude is. We have last Monday, we talked about it. Here's a wrestling tie-in from 1962. Did you know that in Superman, the issue of Superman the comic book, issue number 155, Superman wrestled, took on, fought pro wrestler Antonino Rocca in the pages of Superman comic books? Yes, that took place, and I've got a review for it up there. We also posted a review of the 2019 movie The Joker starring Joaquin Phoenix. Last Tuesday, we had the Greatest Kayfabe Tournament, where we had Bret Hart taking on Giant Baba in our fantasy tournament. Then on Wednesday, Stuck in the Desert, which is one of our third-party podcasts there by the Desert Rat, did a paranormal podcast. It's kind of akin to Dragon King Dark and After Dark and whatever. It's on there. Plus, the Hill Mustache podcast, which I talked about earlier. Thursday, we had a review of The Batman 2022. Yes, streaming on HBO Max. Many of you may have seen it, saw it in the theaters, may have saw it on HBO Max. Plus, we also talked about the classic rock, hard rock band Kiss in another show. Wrestling with the Dog airs on Fridays, as it does every single Friday, as Dirty Dog Darcy talks about a match or a show in pro wrestling history and deep dives into it. Also, last week was Friday the 13th, so we had a review. We do this every Friday the 13th. We reviewed Friday the 13th, Part 2. And then Saturday, we had the Fireside Chat. That's our weekly time. We just sit around and talk life. I answer your questions. Anything you've posted on Patreon, we talk about that. Plus, we had another show that reviewed Little House on the Prairie. Yes, the classic TV series. That was just last week. Can you believe that's just 1 week at When It Was Cool? That's what you're missing out by not being a Patreon supporter. You can come on board for as little as $1. That gets you several hundred podcasts that's in the archives already. If you come in at the $5 or higher level, you're going to get almost 2,000 podcasts ready to download. Just get to downloading them, bank you some up, listen ahead, and then file into what all we're doing over there this week. So check it out. Got a lot of great stuff going on over there. In the meantime, I'll see you back here next week. And before then, I hope to see you over at whenitwascool.com. Thanks for listening.
WhenItWasCool.com.
Hey, you know any Weird Al Yankovic?
Oh, eat it, Jeff!
Your source for retro pop culture fun.
Imagine a party thrown by Motley Crue with a bunch of guys who rode crew wearing J. Crew.
Hit that Patreon button for premium content.